News Talk Saturday.
It's now our Ask the Expert slot when we're talking about water, wet, damp and gardens. That's what's happening to most people. Brian Burke, who is our RTE Super Garden Judge and Woody's DIY Garden Expert. You're welcome along, first of all.
Thanks for coming in.
We want to talk a little bit about the devastation that has been wreaked upon Irish gardens over the last weeks. A lot of people have been driving around the country over the last week or two. I see a lot of water logging. I saw a lot of dampness. So just talk me through when people look out the window and just say, maybe I should just wait till the summer till it all dries out. What's your reaction to just that sort of view?
Exactly. We're hoping for the big drying now after what we've seen over the past couple of months. So I suppose there's a few things at play when you look at a damp or waterlogged garden. And I suppose to understand what's happening with it, it's important to understand what should be happening in an ideal situation. So like soil, the components of soil, we've about, in general terms, about 45% of your soil by volume is the mineral component. That's the particle, right? That comes from the parent rock, the native rock in the area. And over the course of millennia, that breaks down mechanically and chemically to create your soil. About 25% by volume is water, 25% by volume is air, and the other 5%, making up the 100, is organic materials.
So worms.
Yes, exactly. things like that. Invertebrates, nematodes, things like that. Living and dead organic material. So what happens when we get prolonged, relentless rain is that 25% that should be air in your soil, we call it porosity, that gets replaced by water, right? And that turns the situation from being aerobic into anaerobic. So plants, 99% of plants need aerobic conditions in order to respire, in order to perform physiologically and grow, right? So when the soil gets saturated with water, the situation turns anaerobic. Anaerobic is destructive to plants. It produces ethanol, which inhibits the movement of water.
So are you leading me onto, from what I hear, are you saying get out the pitchfork and just poke holes? Is that what
Again, the impact of all of this depends to a large degree on the type of soil that you have, right? I was working with a group cultivating some soil down near Abbey Leaks in County Laois a couple of weeks ago. And you would swear when we turned over the soil that it hadn't rained at all, because the soil was very, very sandy. So because it's very, very sandy, that dissipates and percolates water very easily. If you're unlucky enough to have a very clay soil, it's going to hang on to all that water, because clay is the smallest particle. It binds very tightly. It's very cohesive and it doesn't drain, right? So the impact of this depends to a large degree on the topography of your local area. If you're sandy, you probably won't need to do much. If you have clay soil, you'll need to do a lot. You'll need to get in there, aerate, turn it over, cultivate.
Well, actually, yeah, that's exactly, because I've got texters saying, my garden is destroyed. Myself and my husband paid a lot of money last year to have it totally revamped. It's now waterlogged and soggy with dead plants. Please help.
Please help. Yeah, I mean, again, you're talking there about the layering. And
are the plants necessarily dead, though? They may look a bit woebegone, but
they may look a bit... Again, what happens when they get waterlogged is they will... The stomata in the leaves of the plant, which transpires water vapor, when they encounter a stress situation like waterlogging, they produce a stress response, which means they close the stomata, which means that you no longer have that capillary action of water moving up through the plant. Right, that can be a temporary thing. When the plant dries out again and air comes back into the soil, that plant will recover. But if it's prolonged, that plant could be in serious trouble, you know. And you'll know by the turgidity. And it seems it's an ironic or kind of paradoxical situation where you have wet ground but a very wilting looking plant. It doesn't seem to make any sense.
A lot of people, endless queries coming in on this. When can I cut the grass again?
When can I cut the grass? Well, first of all, we need it to dry. And a day like today is going to help. Like blue skies today, the sun is out. And that's definitely going to help matters. But when...
Traditional advice was don't cut your grass when it's damp and wet. That was
when
the traditional,
damp, exactly.
Yeah.
But if we do get dry periods over the winter, it's never a bad idea to cut your grass to keep it in trim. But now, what you want to be doing is waiting for a dry day, wait until the grass is nice and dry, and cut it no more than a third of its length in any one go. So put your mower on its highest setting, go out and cut no more than 33% of the length of the grass in any one go. If you cut it too low, too quickly, you'll scalp it, you'll stress the roots, and you'll run the risk of inviting moss and weed seed into those bare patches. So take it down incrementally over a period.
Okay, let's go through some of these quickly because we're always under time pressure on this programme. As you know, one is, can I get a polytunnel? I don't have much money. Can you kind of do a DIY one?
A DIY polytunnel. You can. What you can do is you can buy the frames the arches, and you can buy the plastic separately.
Yeah,
you can also create one yourself by, if you were anyway handy with carpentry, you could do a timber frame, and you can buy polycarbonate in Woody's or your local builder providers or whatever. Polycarbonate, as you know, is clear plastic, and that will create the greenhouse effect. So if you're handy with carpentry or with woodwork, and buy the polycarbonate and put it together yourself. And you can use a south-facing wall if you had one. That'll save you a bit of work. You can create a lean-to type roof and you'll take advantage of the south-facing aspect and soak up all that sun.
Now, lots of Irish gardeners have a slight murderous intent. They want to kill off weeds, and that comes up as a query a lot. So a lot of people saying, how do I spray? Who do I spray? What's the best? All that sort of stuff about weeds in particular.
Oh, spraying, yeah. I mean, spraying, again, I would never be an advocate.
Or do you just
of,
pull them out, get the trowel out and get them out by the root, but it's more time consuming for
again,
a lot of people.
Weed suppression, it comes in many forms. You know, you can use mulches. Mulches, organic mulches are a great way of keeping weeds at bay. That could be wood fibre, bark mulch, wood chips, straw, even cardboard, things like that. That will keep weeds at bay. Cultivating beds will keep weeds at bay. You can also make your own organic formulations at home using things like white vinegar, washing up liquid and salt. You can find recipes for that very, very easily out there, and you can make your own organic weed killers. And hand hoeing and hand weeding, all of that stuff.
One final one, Brian, is creeping thyme. Can I plant it, and where will it grow, and does it need well-drained clay soil?
Do you understand
what that all means?
Well-drained clay soil. Well, that's a bit of a paradox there, because well-drained wouldn't be clay soil.
No,
clay soil
so.
would be heavy soil. So it would need sandy soil. It need to be well-drained. You can plant it. It's a good it's a good ground covering plant. We're starting to see a lot planted between stepping stones in gardens. You know, people who want to create that old antique rustic effect, maybe put down some limestone stepping stones and plant creeping thyme between it. Plant it quite densely. You can buy the plants very cheaply. You can get them in little modular packs, and they're quite inexpensive. Plant them close together in a very well-drained soil, but just keep them moist.
Oh yeah, the other one I was going to ask about mulches. A lot of people saying, what are the different types? Apparently you've mentioned it before, but they're a bit confused about which ones are the best ones to get.
Yeah, mulches. I mean, again, organic mulch. So organic mulch is a great way to suppress weeds, and it means that you don't have to use chemical interventions. So things like shredded bark, wood fibre, wood chip, straw, leaf mold is a great mulch. So if you've a lot of deciduous trees around your house, gather up all the leaves, let them decompose. It'll turn into what we call leaf mold. And then you can spread that over your beds. And that's a really great natural way of suppressing weeds. Cardboard is also used. Straw, hay, things like that. Anything that's organic is something that was formerly living and is going to also make your plants look really well. And it's going to contribute nutrients to the soil, make your plants pop, and also keep the weeds down and control the temperature in the root zone and retain moisture. All of those great things.
Okay, listen, I'm going to have to leave it there. You know what's happening this morning, so we're a little bit truncated in terms of our normal conversation. Right. Brian Burke is from the RTÉ Super Garden Judge, and of course he's also with Woody's and a general garden expert. Thank you very much, Brian,
thanks, Simon,
for coming in.
News Talk Saturday.